Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, Will Kunkel on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for the next hour. We'll start World Series Game 6 coverage from ESPN right at 6 o'clock with first pitch happening just after 7. We just got done talking some college football with head coach of the Houston Cougs, Willie Fritz. Check out the interview on our podcast and wherever you get them, any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify. Just search Jeremy and Joe. You can find us there. That interview and then our interview yesterday with Tom Herman as well. So let's talk some more college football because, well, it's getting a little crazy over in Louisiana, not too far from us. Brian Kelly was fired. We knew the LSU governor, it was reported, wanted to also originally fire Scott Woodward. That did not happen originally, but they said Scott Woodward would not be part of the hiring process for the next head coach. There would be a board that would be part of that hiring process instead. Ultimately, yesterday, the athletic director was also fired. This is also a school that does not currently have a full-time president. So they're without a full-time president, athletic director, and a head coach, and they have a governor who is not messing around. He's making all the changes. He's talking about taxpayer dollars, paying for buyouts and paying for coach salaries and all these different things. He straight up called the Brian Kelly contract terrible. It's been interesting. I thought, honestly, Will, like one of the things I thought was the most interesting from all of us is that some of this just it goes back to Will Wade, the basketball coach, that the governor wanted Will Wade to be rehired as the LSU basketball coach, and Scott Woodward refused. And that is what originally started their beef. But LSU is the top job, but maybe it was the top job. I don't know, because this has got to run some candidates off. Not all of them, but this is a athletic director who in his tenure has, let me count here because Brian knows I'm bad at math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 national championships in different sports. Only one in football. I don't know if he gets credit for it because he was only there for a year. He got hired in 19
when
they won.
That's Saban's title.
That's,
Was that Saban's title or is that Les Miles?
Orgeron.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got hired there in 19.
Yeah. Right.
But you've got national championships in track and baseball and basketball and gymnastics, like all these different. So it's worked pretty well in the program except for the elite level of football. But, Will, is this still the top job?
Like in America?
Like.
Or on that's available.
Available. Like LSU, Florida, Penn State. I just don't know. Like,
I rather Penn State than LSU. Obviously, the recruiting grounds are so fertile down in Louisiana. But listen, man, it's no small joke that the governor's getting involved. And just the deal, having said that, if they come to me or go to anybody and say, here's X amount of hundreds of millions of dollars, like, I'll have a meeting a week with the governor. Like, I'll sit there, smile and nod, tell the guy what he wants to hear. But with that said, it's not a small deal. That's what I think eventually, but people didn't realize that Texas is such a big deal. Mac Brown was an elite business CEO type of guy. He could handle all the boosters. He handled all the crap that comes with being Texas's head coach. And you saw how hard it was to find someone to lead an elite athletic program with Texas football team after he left. It was so hard because there's so much more that comes with it than just football. So if this is how bad it is on surface and they're willingly and like they feel confident enough to hold press conferences about it, and I know it was a joke when he said, hell, we'll have President Trump hire him. Anyone. It doesn't matter. Woodward ain't doing it. Like, that's crazy if it's that public and that you feel that free to do it. You know what I'm saying?
And it wasn't even a press conference for LSU. He was actually there to talk about a bill to help out poor people or something like that. And he just went into a rant about Trump picking the next coach.
Yeah, it just makes it, I don't know, it's really interesting to see just like how this all plays out at this point. Because to have a president, athletic director, and football coach opening, like the normal process would go president, athletic director, football coach.
And governor's like doing other stuff.
It's President Trump.
Yeah. Like, it just feels like it might just be football coach. Like, depending on how you do this, the timeline, I mean, we are a month and a half away, essentially, from really being able to hire a football coach. Like maybe you're waiting on Lane Kiffin to get knocked out of the playoffs if he wants to come there. But
I think they're going to end up hiring the football coach first and then hiring the other two after.
Who? Where?
LSU.
Versus?
Like hire the football coach, then hire the AD, then hire the president.
Nah, man.
Unless you start moving quickly.
Listen, it's out of order. It's out of whack. Like, it's not the way you want to run it. And I think that definitely gives people pause. However, if you are the football coach, maybe Willie Fritz can answer this, but they probably have a better operation going on with Eddie Nunez over at Houston than they do at LSU right now. Like, how much do you really deal with the athletic director on a day-to-day basis? I'm not, like, obviously he's involved to some capacity, but on a day-to-day basis, these football coaches are so friggin' busy. Like, we've tried to get Willie Fritz on in the past, and he's just been busy. Like, he's had meetings, game prep, been across the country, time zones, the whole nine yards. They're extremely busy. So the fact that, like, you think you're going to be dealing with the AD on a daily basis, you shouldn't be anyway. Like, the AD, you want...
Sure.
You want your AD to be like Callahan and Hannon McNair. Sign the checks, get the hell out of the way, make the right hires.
It's always fun to win. Don't get involved
with everything else that I'm dealing with.
Yeah, my biggest question with all of this as it's transpiring, though, is the one comment from the governor, like, is straight up saying it's a terrible contract. Because this is the way contracts work now in college football. And that does make me wonder if he is acknowledging of, like, as a state employee, we don't want to assign a similar contract to our next coach. Look what happened to Kurt Cignetti. He just got a $90 million guaranteed contract at Indiana. We saw Matt Rhule yesterday get another, 2 years added onto his contract, in which if he wants to take the Penn State job now, they got to pay Nebraska $15 million to get out of it.
Is there another industry in the world where someone else gets fired and everyone else gets richer because of it?
Nothing. It's like what you said earlier about, like, basically becoming irrelevant after you're at the top of you're the top dog in the sport. You're just irrelevant after 3 years. I'm fascinated by this LSU search because the way that this is playing out publicly, this is where you look at someone like Lane Kiffin and they go, it's not being run like this in Florida.
If I'm Lane Kiffin and the money's even, I'm going to Florida before I take on this mess.
Or I'm staying home.
I'm staying, dude.
Saying if he's leaving, I would stay home as well. I think Ole Miss is being underrated in this whole conversation about Lane Kiffin. But I think that's it's got to be a tiebreaker at least. I mean, if LSU overpays, which it doesn't sound like from the governor's comments are willing to overpay, but if they don't overpay, I'm going somewhere else. If it's Penn State or Florida in particular, I'm not dealing with the governor trying to pick everyone involved in that over going to someplace else where you can also win and be in a big-time program.
And what if you're Les Miles and you're sitting here and you're looking at the dumpster fire that is Les?
You're laughing a little bit?
I'm sorry. If you're Lane Kiffin and you're looking at the dumpster fire that is LSU right now, aren't you kind of like, bro, not only do I not want to go there, I can't wait for them to just make a bad hire and just suck. Like, I don't need LSU to be good. I don't, whatever.
It's good
I'm
for you.
Good at Ole Miss. I don't need to go figure out all that crap. We got it figured out here. I talked to Kelvin Sampson about this once. I had him on my show, Kicking It with Kunkel. And I was like, why would you want to stay at Houston if you can get better resources other places? Because Houston is not a Big 12 athletic department. That's a Big 12 basketball program. The football program isn't there quite yet, and the rest of them certainly aren't on that level. And then financially, the rest of them aren't even close to where the rest of the Big 12 is. So what he's built, why not go somewhere else? And he said to me, because every program wants what we have. We've built it. I don't want to go somewhere else and build that again. I've already done it. I've got it. I don't need to go anywhere else and do it. And that's what Lane Kiffin has at Ole Miss. He's built it.
He took over a bad job.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was not a good job when he took over, and he's built it into something. And even now for the lower-level coaches, now this name's not popular anymore, I would say after last night's debacle from Tulane, losing up in San Antonio to UTSA. But if you're like John Sumrall, if they call you and you're like, oh, I'm at Tulane right now, but you see what's happening publicly at LSU, is that the big job I want now? Or am I going to wait to see if Florida calls or wait till next year?
Depends on the paycheck.
It does depend on the paycheck, right?
I think it'll be interesting to see if this kind of crosses the top-tier coaches off of LSU's list. If all the top-tier guys that we're talking about pass, and then they do have to go down to, like, the Tulane level that you mentioned. But I definitely would have some hesitancy if I'm Sumrall. Like, I mean, I could be out, but if you're looking at, like, well, I could be out, but then I get a massive buyout, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it just depends on the paycheck for those guys at the Tulane level.
It's going, whoever interviews for the job, it's going to be a two-way interview.
It's going to be
let me see what y'all are doing around here. Who's in charge? Who do I have to meet with every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for no damn reason? Like, what's the real deal here that I'm going to have to deal with? Who do you like for this job? Like, who do you think they should go after?
I mean, I think Lane Kiffin is the number one choice for it. I think Summerall makes a lot of sense at two as the number two guy. I mean, I know it hasn't been like, it's been a really good season. I know like recently it hasn't been, you would say as good, but Alex Golish at South Florida, I think makes a lot of sense. Like, I would rather go lower and build something there and want to like find my version of Kurt Cignetti. They should learn their lesson a little bit.
Could that guy be Willie Fritz?
No.
I mean,
that's a lot for Willie, I think, at this point. I mean, here's my guy.
I would say yes.
Clark Lee.
Clark Lee makes a lot of sense.
The Vanderbilt. He's getting $3.5 million a year right now.
But and, I mean, he wins at Vanderbilt.
I know, but you're never going to get any better than what you are now at Vanderbilt, and it's
top
not
10 in the country.
You don't. Yeah, but you're not sustaining that. Like that's a very hard place to sustain that type of success. And I look at Vanderbilt as I do Northwestern. Now Vanderbilt's like, it sounds hilarious because Vanderbilt is elite right now, legitimately. Northwestern's been in the Big 12 or the Big 10 championship game twice the last decade. So, but it's hard to, because you have academic standards, you don't have the resources, you just don't have the fan base, you don't have what you have at LSU. He's getting $3.5 million. So to sustain at Vanderbilt would be so hard. Strike while the iron's hot. Get what you can get.
I just don't think, I wonder how that fan base would react to him, because it's always weird when you talk about like coaches replacing the guy that you're familiar with in a way, right? Like, does Clark Lee make sense at Penn State? Well, the last time they hired a coach, he was from Vanderbilt. So, like, do you want to go back into the same pool? Do you want to hire Clark Lee at LSU, who was Brian Kelly's defensive coordinator at Notre Dame? Like, I think that it makes the fan base and people typically in those programs a little nervous. But I don't really know what they're like. Like, they're going to want to go for the big
fish.
Stop. But
Michigan tried this crap forever, and it failed. Like, Michigan, man. Michigan. Just get a good football coach.
Yeah.
Get the guy that can win football games. I agree. You don't even need to recruit. You just got to have a bankroll.
As again, not a single player has decommitted from LSU during all of this.
I like Brent Key from Georgia Tech a lot, and I like Matt Campbell from Iowa State. Those are the guys that I really like for this job.
Matt Campbell he's brought up every single year. And either doesn't take it or he doesn't get offered it. I mean, he interviewed for the Bears job 2 years ago.
What about Joe Brady, former passing game coordinator? I personally would not like a first-time head coach in that role because it's so inundating.
Joe Brady, to me, would be the number two guy behind Lincoln.
I think he's going to stay in the NFL.
I kind of agree with you,
but
too.
I remember who we had on. But
he would have to become a head coach at a smaller school before LSU.
There's been rumor that he didn't like dealing with the recruiting aspect. So it feels like he's going to stick around the NFL.
If he's open to the recruiting and everything now, because now it's more about closer to the NFL model versus the college model that was before. Joe Brady, to me, like, I know it would be his first-time job, but it makes a lot of sense. He's currently the betting favorite to be the Penn State head coach.
Really?
In the moment,
you like that idea of hiring a first-time head coach at a major university?
I think it's fine. I mean, Brian,
just do it 1 year elsewhere.
I mean, Penn State wants Brian Hartline. Like, what's the difference? Like, you're going to hire an OC at some point. I mean, that's how we hire NFL coaches.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but he's never even. Boy, that's tough. That's tough. Okay.
I like Joe Brady.
I like Joe Brady too.
I think he makes a lot of sense for both those jobs.
Damn, it's a lot.
It's a lot. All right, and now we'll see how many jobs open. But yes, I would call Willie. Sorry, Cougs. I'd call him. All he does is win, man. You want a winner? That's a winner right there. All that guy does is win. It doesn't matter how old he is.
Does he have the desire to put up with the
BS?
That's
the question. Like, does he have that desire? I hope he doesn't leave, because I hope he turns the Cougs into a team that's to win constantly. It would be nice to have that in our backyard, a football team that's consistently good. And I think Willie's going to take him there as long as he sticks around. But I'd make the call, Brian. All right, YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy Branham is out. Joe George, Will Kunkel here with you until 6
just
o'clock.
You, Joe.
Just me. Thanks, appreciate you. We were doing an interview. Me and Paul. Paul was on vacation. It was just me hosting. And I asked a question to Glenn, and he addressed me as Paul. I had to correct him and say, no, Paul's not here. It's just me.
Just you, Joe.
That's okay. I love Glenn Davis. He's the best. Soccer matters. Soccer. 6 to 8. Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. NFL teams, you trust or don't trust anymore. Do you trust the Dallas Cowboys? Do they deserve trust
this
anymore?
Year?
This year?
No. Their defense is horrendous.
Yeah. See, I found this list from NFL.com. Where we found this list. I don't know who. I think it was Jeremy put it on here. And they have a list of teams that deserve trust and teams that deserve grace at this point, or are losing trust in teams that deserve grace at this point in the season. Number one team on this list was a team I know you don't trust because you said something very mean about them earlier, the Atlanta Falcons.
They are a disaster,
They are one of the hardest teams to get a read on at this point.
I don't
in
even
the NFL
think
season.
They are. I think they just had one good week.
You think it was just
against,
one good week?
Yeah, against the Bills. Yeah.
Now,
like,
see,
as soon as they drafted Michael Penix Jr.
After signing Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
It was over. And Kyle Pitts has not been good, and Bijan Robinson doesn't touch the ball. Like, what are we doing down there?
I'm surprised with, like, the Bijan is as up and down at times. Now, it's mostly been really good this season, for the most part.
Like,
most of the season, his usage rate has been where I like it. Last week was obviously the exception. That's a little game script. But also, it shouldn't really matter. Just run the ball.
He's the best in the freaking NFL!
Yeah, so I just use him all the time. Yeah, I think that's the first team. Them being the first team on this list of teams that are wearing out their trust makes a lot of sense to me. Number two on their list, Will, is the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, pause real quick.
Yes.
Falcons. They haven't been legit good since Matt Ryan, right?
Yeah.
That's fair to say. That's a long-ass time.
Yeah. Well, they've tried different coaches. They've tried everything. I mean, the only thing the Falcons do right as an organization consistently, I love that they don't go over the top anymore for their concessions. Maybe this makes me sound like
a
fact.
Oh, it's great. Oh, hell yeah. No, it's badass. It's awesome.
They treat their prices in their stadiums for like the everyday person.
It's a great stadium.
Their beer is $5. Their hot dogs are $4.
A dollar water.
Like a dollar water. Like that's not, you know, I hate going to a game. It's my least favorite part of going to a game is like at the Texans game with my dad. I'm like, all right, let's get two hot dogs and two waters. $30. It's crazy.
You can't splurge to enjoy something because they got some spots that are cool, good food. You can't enjoy it. And then you're just like guilty eating a $40 cheeseburger.
It's crazy.
Like, bro, this sucks.
Yeah, and the Falcons have said their sales have gone up and their profits have gone up since
Heck
they did.
Yeah.
Because people are buying six hot dogs instead of one hot dog, right? Like they're spending the money
those
still.
Slimmies down in Atlanta.
Yeah, plus they got Chick-fil-A there for when it's not Sundays.
Not for the NFL.
Yeah. Well, so I guess the Astros do as well.
Vikings, you said.
Kind of. Vikings are the next team of teams that are wearing out their trust. They're wearing out your trust.
I don't buy that. Maybe this season, just because of health concerns and the quarterback play obviously isn't there. Yeah, this season, but not overall as a franchise. And the defense, you know, Brian Flores' defense has not been very good this year. They've been better than their offense, but because the offense is a joke. But listen, man, you got all the injuries. Like, what are you expecting? It's an institutional failure with the Falcons. It's injury related with the Vikings.
Yeah, even though I'm not a big. We'll wait and see how it looks over the next couple weeks. I mean, he deserves time. He deserves some grace in J.J. McCarthy because he didn't play last year. He's played in two or three games this year. And coming back is not easy. He's got to play against on the road in Detroit this week. Then he's got to play Baltimore the following week. He's got the Packers in 4 weeks, the Seahawks. Like their schedule's not easy this year. They're not going to be a playoff team. You know, there was a report about Kevin O'Connell that came out like 2 days ago about players being a little unhappy.
They're losing.
Go ahead and fire him. Like, if that's what that – like go
that's
ahead.
The Bears fan. You know,
yeah, of course.
Exactly. No way, dude.
He would be the hottest head coach on the market. It wouldn't be particularly close if Kevin O'Connell was a free agent.
He'd find a job right away.
Yes. Anyone would be. There would be coaches in the NFL who might get fired.
If he was out there.
If he was out there, yeah.
Just to get him.
There might
I
be
agree.
One here.
It was kind of like when Ron Rivera got fired by the Panthers. Like he was in demand right away.
Yeah.
And went over to the Redskins. Excuse me.
Canceled.
Wow.
Cancel culture.
Holy smokes.
That's right. I still say it too.
so sorry to everyone out there that just drove off the road.
It happens.
Wow.
My high school went through that when
How
I was growing
scary.
Up. We were the R words.
Back then they did it?
Yeah, they changed
How
it.
How old are you?
33. So they changed it going into my
losers.
Seventh grade year, I think it was. So that's what, like mid-2000s, like 2006, 2000. No,
they changed,
2004.
They changed my high school from after I was gone, thank God, from the Crusaders.
Okay.
Which was like, is that
yeah,
bad?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, are we? Is that the game we're playing? And
yes.
Then do you know what they went to? Like, so bad. I believe the Pride.
The Pride?
Yeah. Which can like be taken a lot of different ways.
Is it a lion logo?
There's other ways.
Yeah. We went from the R words to the Red Raiders. Not a great upgrade.
Double R word.
Yeah, not a great upgrade. I was like, that's a disappointment. You got to come up with a better name than that. That's why when they get so offended by the Texans' names, I'm like, eh. Like, I remember being in middle school.
Who's offended by the Texans?
No, so no one likes it.
That's fine. I have no problem. It's bland.
It's
I don't
so
have a problem
bland.
With it, though.
It could be worse, though. You're right.
Are the Panthers not bland? I mean, it just kind of is what it is.
Their jerseys are sweet, so it makes
sense. They can be.
The Dallas Cowboys are the next on this list of teams that are wearing out their trust. This one, I mean, they should be number one for me. I still don't understand their head coach hire. I don't understand their defensive coordinator hire. I love that they're rumored to be calling about all these pass rushers.
I don't think that's real, though.
You don't think it's real?
Not for someone they're going to give up a lot for.
Well, they got
like not
first
Max Crosby. I don't think like Max Crosby's real.
Yeah, the Trey Hendrickson one would make sense because
you can get him on the cheap. Probably.
You get him on the cheap. Like his contract's not big. He's going to be a free agent. I mean, he's still going to cost like at least a second rounder. But I don't think he's going to move from the Bengals. And then the last team on this list of teams that are wearing out their trust
with the Cowboys, though, at least
yeah.
they have a very good offense. Like
they
have
do.
A very very good offense. So they have they're always going to be around because they can outscore teams. So they're going to be like relevant, and they're certainly going to be fun to watch mm-hmm. because they're going to allow points and they're going to score points.
Yep.
So I definitely don't think they're a good football team, but they're definitely not going to wear out their welcome from a standpoint of, you know, just being relevant because yeah. they're going to be around. They're going to score.
I think they'll make a defensive coordinator change and they'll make some other moves. I mean, a lot of people think Diggs has played his last game there,
but their talent's not good on defense. Either.
No, they got a lot of work to do.
That's not a coordinator issue.
Micah Parsons would be nice.
Yeah, well, I liked getting rid of them. I didn't like what they got in return. I thought that they got fleeced.
I just think they should have done it earlier in the offseason.
1,000%.
Yeah. The last team on here, and we'll get to the teams deserving grace on the other side because the Texans are on it. The Giants wearing out their trust.
Now?
Well,
now that Cam's hurt.
That's why I'm like, I thought they had a renovation.
I thought they had a new identity. They had the influx of young talent.
Like, I don't think I would even move on from Dable. He took them to the playoffs. Now,
man, he's got an excuse without Cam now.
But, you know, we see what Daniel Jones is doing now and what he did with Daniel Jones. But he took Daniel Jones to the playoffs and they won a playoff game a couple years ago at this point. But I just have a hard time being like, okay, you have Jackson Dart, you have Cam Scatter, who's not out for the season. You lost Malik Nabers. Like, I would be fine if Daboll kept his job.
I have an interesting
at this
one
point.
For yeah. you. And you're going to like it or hate it. But the Bears, they're 4-3. They're in a very tough division. But they're over 500 for the first time in a while at this stage in their season.
Caleb is wearing out his trust.
That's
I don't
for
think
sure.
the team is.
Are you surprised Caleb kind of stinks?
It's really, I'm having a hard time with this one because when I watch the games, like there's people I like to listen to mm-hmm. that I trust that break down the quarterback position. One of them is Kurt Warner. I think mm-hmm. he's very, very good at his job. Every single week I listen to him to do a radio interview and the host asked the most leading They hate Caleb Williams questions ever, and all he does is go is, no, he's fine. Like, he's developing. It's not perfect. It's not exactly where it needs to be, but he's literally getting better every single week.
I don't know, man.
I'm not sure on Caleb at this point. So I have plenty of trust in the organization at this point in terms of their coach, but that's about it on both sides of the ball.
But yeah, you would think with Ben Johnson that Caleb Williams would look better.
Yeah, it hasn't looked as good as I thought.
Why isn't DJ Moore getting the touches he should get?
Because I think there's more to the DJ Moore store than we know. I think he's a pouty little man.
Hmm.
So I think if he was healthy, he'd be getting traded on Tuesday, frankly.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think they like him there. I don't think he likes being there.
Huh.
I think it's interesting that you had a player who's receiving, you know, has over 1,000 receiving yards every single year, and Carolina was like, yeah, go ahead, take him.
That was an interesting regime.
I have questions.
I will say he does love being there.
I know he does.
He likes Chicago.
Yeah, he just wants the ball.
He definitely wants the ball.
Yeah.
He did. So when he was there and Justin Fields was the quarterback, mm-hmm. he spoke up saying Justin Fields is his guy.
Yeah, because Justin would lose the game, but he would throw it deep down the field to DJ like twice a game.
And you defend a quarterback in your building versus the guy that might be your quarterback that's in college.
Yeah.
And do you think Caleb took that in a butthurt way?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's weird like how they haven't gotten on the same page, specifically those two guys. Because I think like DJ Moore has been a name that's been floated out in a lot of trade rumors.
I don't like the way they use him. Like he's such an athlete.
Yeah, he's like their third running back at this point.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So I like that they use him in that manner and they get him the ball, but they don't use him like east to west. I don't know. I like Ben Johnson too.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break here. There's on this list is teams that deserve some grace. We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. YouTube TV customers, you just lost ESPN. It's time to try to get it back. You've lost college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jeremy and Joe here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Will Kunkel filling in for Jeremy today. He will return on Monday.
Thanks for the time, Jeremy.
On this NFL.com list, so we went through the teams that are wearing out their trust. Now we have the teams that deserve some grace. We're going to go in reverse order this one. They have four teams. Number four, the team you used to cover, the Carolina Panthers. That they deserve some grace. This weekend, we'll see Bryce Young return. Andy Dalton said, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I had a broken thumb. That's when it's okay to make an
that's
excuse.
That's a pretty big one.
Like you can make that excuse, Andy. It's okay. I appreciate you saying you don't want to, but like if you want to make it, that's a fine one.
That works.
But Bryce Young returns this weekend. Is this a team that deserves some grace now at 4-4?
So, like, what, grace from what? Because they're not going to make the playoffs. They were never going to make the playoffs. I don't think the expectations were to make the playoffs. So, grace from what? The Panthers are what they are right now, and it's not a very good football team.
But
so
they are who we thought they were.
Bingo.
And we let them off the hook.
I would say for the Panthers, like, I know, like, the expectations were not that they're going to be a playoff team this year. But isn't it time with Bryce Young as your quarterback to take that next step?
But that's the thing. It's not because you have Bryce Young. It's like you have still a young head coach trying to figure it out. Your defense was historically bad last year. Mm-hmm. So quarterback's nice to have. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't have, 52 other good players, forget about it. Xavier Leggett has been an abomination at times with the way he plays. And again, defensively, it was the worst in the NFL. So I don't know what the hell Bryce Young has to do with it.
I mean,
I'm sorry, Joe, but I'm with Will here. Like to me, like to deserve or be on the list of deserves grace, there has to be some expectations you fell short of, mm-hmm. but there's a reason outside of your control that caused it.
100%.
That doesn't apply to the Panthers. They weren't thought to be good.
That's a weird team to be on there.
Yeah. Next team, the team the Texans just beat, the 49ers. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Fair. Completely fair.
Mac Jones starting again this weekend. I thought Brock Purdy was almost back 3 weeks ago. Like, this injury.
Yeah. Commanders, they deserve grace.
Put a dollar in the jar.
They deserve a ton of grace. Yeah. Jaden Daniels hurt. Scary Terry hurt. Debo Samuel hurt. Yeah, grace.
Same thing with the 49ers. Like, they're so beat up. And we haven't seen Brandon Ayuk at all this season. George Kittle has been
That's
out.
That's crazy. Not really been Brandon talked Man. About much. Like,
I know.
I thought he was supposed to be back by, I don't know, week two or three was the report, all off season. We are going into week nine. It's like he's not even close yet.
No, and Ricky Pearsall, like, they lost him for all of last season. They got him back. He's looked good in flashes this season, and now he's out again. Like,
Nick Bosa's out for the year. Fred Warner's out for the year. It's been a rough year for 49ers.
Yeah.
It's been a rough stretch. When they're bad, it's all because of injuries, and it's bad.
They're the Astros. I've said it before. They're the Astros at this point. Like, they cannot stay healthy. It's a problem year after year. It is typically the players that you need the most out there in some capacity. Like, you're not just, like, depleted with injuries on your roster. You're missing all your big names. Maybe they'll be the next team to fire their medical staff. probably necessary. Texans, I mean, the Astros did it. The Astros also just lost a couple of guys recently. Lost Murphy, Miller and Murphy. Yeah. They also lost someone else just recently as well. The next team on this list, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this was before last night's game. Of course they deserve some grace.
Yeah, dude.
Their entire team was out.
Now,
of course.
My only counter to that of myself is the defense was awful the first couple of weeks of the season when it was healthy. Like part of the reason why they are in the position they are is they could not stop anybody. And we saw they made some offseason moves like we saw last night. Jair Alexander, who they brought in, was a healthy scratch versus the Miami Dolphins. So, like, that move hasn't really worked out for them. I don't think a lot of people expected it to. It felt like people were excited very back of the baseball card of that move.
Yeah, it feels like the only thing Jair Alexander has done this year is take the ball away from Jalen Nol after he tried to do the Ray Lewis thing.
Yes.
That's the only thing he's accomplished this year.
Pretty much. And, well, we got the ball back, so.
Yeah, so he didn't even accomplish
he
that.
He failed at that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they deserve to be on this list. So, the last two make sense because of injury. The number one team on this list from NFL.com of teams that deserve some grace is the Houston Texans.
Go Texans.
Do they deserve any grace? And they point to the fact that their losses have come by a combined 21 points. All of them are within a touchdown and a two-point conversion at worst. So do the Texans deserve some grace?
I don't think they deserve grace because it's self-inflicted foundational wounds from a hiring offensive standpoint. It's not because of injuries. It's not because of things you can't control. It's stuff you directly control. It's the offense again. And I think that's part of why D'Amico Ryans had a little bit of a, you know, spat with the media on Sunday and then on Monday again, because for the second year in a row, this guy has to answer questions 5 days a week about the offense and why the offense is falling short, why the offensive line can't get their crap together, and why the defense is so good, and yet how is it like, what's it like coaching a defense when you have to be on the field for 40 minutes at a time? Like, this is foundational malpractice from an offensive standpoint when it came to hiring the OC, or at least being a good OC, and then the offensive line. Mm. So I don't think they deserve grace because they are exactly what they wanted to be. They're healthy. This is what they chose to do, and they're not doing it well offensively.
Brian?
I mean, I'm 99% with Will, but you do have to remember Joe Mixon has missed the entire season.
But I love that you mentioned that because I agree. Yes. But we mentioned this on the Swarmcast. The offense was so bad. Now, the 49ers game, if they had Joe Mixon, it's like, holy crap, they could have put up like 40 maybe, whatever. But the first 3 weeks of the season, it doesn't matter who your running back was, that it was so bad. Like, the Seahawks game, it didn't even matter. Like, the issues were so bad.
I agree with you for Seattle, but, like, it's what we talked about earlier when we were talking about, like, keys to the game, and Joe brought up, you know, third down conversions. Like, part of the problem, as we talked about in that segment of why they're so bad on third down, is like every third down is third and eight, third and seven. I have to believe, maybe this is a back of the baseball card take, but I have to believe they're in less third and eights if Joe Mixon is healthy.
But do you believe that the offensive scheme was all of a sudden figured out and good?
No, I just think they'd have, you know, it's sometimes it's the Jimmy, sometimes it's the X's and O's. But I think Joe Mixon makes a difference in at least one of these losses and has the record flipped 4-3. Like, I mean,
maybe so, one win. I'll give him one.
Not Seattle. Seattle, they were thoroughly physically dominated. But I think between the Rams and the Jaguars, I think one of those games flips is Joe Mixon's healthy.
Maybe the Rams, because it's week one, you're the Dare fumble away.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he holds onto the ball. Fine. Like, I'll give you that just out of respect for Joe and the talent that he brings. But the problem with me is that you're not losing because of what's happening on the field as much as you're not prepared to have success on the field. The game plan doesn't work. The scheme is a mess. Like, your tight pit quarters of your wide receivers is like the angles aren't developing the way you want them to when you have those tight splits. It felt like Joe wasn't the issue. Like, we didn't even get there before we hit our fourth and fifth problem. You know what I'm saying? And
like I said, I'm 99% with you. I just think Joe's talent.
Thanks.
I'm not going to clip that. I'll say Mixon's talent. Let me rephrase that so Joe can't save it for himself. Mixon's talent, I think, helps to cover up some of those flaws, right?
Like, I agree.
He's so much better than this version of Nick Chubb that some of those things that didn't work with Chubb would be covered up because Mixon's so much more talented.
Yeah. Joe, hold on. You say you agree.
Yeah.
How much, like, that they're undefeated at the bye?
No. I think
flip one game.
But I'm just saying, like, they were one possession away.
I mean, I'll say I would flip two, to be honest with you. I think of the first, I think they're 2-1.
I just don't trust that the game plan would have said, go be great, Joe, or that they would have been able to block for.
But they didn't block for him last year.
There were so many issues. Yeah.
And he just found a way. Like, they're at least one win better, which, I mean, at this point, if you're 4-3 going into this game and you're going to play a, you know, beat down Broncos team,
The running back issue was the third or fourth biggest issue to start the year, right?
Yes.
And like, then that's kind of like, and I know and that's we kind
where
of agree that, on.
That's where I think they deserve grace is because it's the one that they didn't know about that was hard to pivot from. Like, you could have got J.K. Dobbins if you wanted to, but you went with Nick Chubb.
Rico Dowdle,
you could have got. Like, he was available still, I think, when you got the Chubb deal done.
So easy to play GM later.
And who knows? I mean, maybe we'll see Joe Mixon come back this year.
No,
zero chance.
I don't think so either. Zero chance. Even though it doesn't mean anything to you guys that he's in the building at least now.
No, that does mean something.
Because that does make me feel like, because he's been away.
It's not nothing.
He hasn't been at games. He's been away, like, or at least publicly we haven't known if he's been at games. Like, if he's been there, he's been hiding in a box somewhere. So, like, maybe he's back this weekend.
He's gone full Verlander, just disappeared for a year.
I mean, he kind of did for a while, and then he was in the photo that Jeremy saw of him at a local barbecue restaurant, in which we're still not naming
as long,
the place.
As long as it's not a Mexican restaurant.
And he didn't have anything on his, like, he wasn't wearing a boot or anything in the photo. So, like, I mean, who knows? We'll see. All right, we'll take a break here. When we get back, let's get to our junkie of the day. YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Final segment of Jeremy and Joe for the week here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll have coverage of Game 6 of the World Series in about 8 minutes. Do our junkie of the day before we skedaddle out of here, get to the weekend. Trick-or-treating? We going? Oh, I forgot to do YouTube TV. Let me talk about YouTube TV first.
This is a trick, not a treat.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. All right, so we trick-or-treating, boys?
Yeah. First year with my daughter. She's 8 weeks, so she's going to love it. She can't wait.
She'll be awake for all of it.
I remember doing that with Joseph. I mean, he was born in March, but like that first one, I was like, are we really doing this?
Hell yeah. Tell me one reason to not go over to friends, walk outside and drink beers.
That's a great call.
And yeah. Yeah. Oh, for the kid? I'll do this for the kid.
Whatever you want.
Hell yeah. Father of the year.
I wasn't sure at first when we started, but then the neighborhood we go to my parents' neighborhood and like all the adults have something.
There's
Jello shots. There's normal shots. There's beers. Yeah. There's high noons. It's great. It's a great time. We're there for me now, Brian.
Exactly.
Not the kids anymore.
Wow. Took a decidedly selfish turn.
Well, this year's
there.
A little different because, like, now I feel like he's going to be a monster for the next, like, hour and a half.
Oh, for sure. The hype?
Yeah.
How does he come down from the sugar? Does he handle that?
Nope. Not good. Not great. It's going to be a long weekend. All weekend he's going to be, can I have some candy? No. No, you can't.
Because you ate
it's my candy.
Because I ate it all.
Lay off me. I'm starving.
There might be a donation to the 97.5 bullpen area.
Dad tax.
Nice.
To hide some. All right, let's get to our junkie of the day. Brian, you want to lead us off today?
Yeah, because I'm going to nominate myself. I actually early on in the show about Damian Pierce being a 1,000-yard rusher. I felt bad about it immediately, so I'll nominate myself for that one.
Will?
I don't mean to nitpick. God, it was 64 yards short.
You got a junkie of the day today, Will?
Yeah, I'm going. This is going to love. Some people are going to love it. Some people are hate it. J.D. Vance posted a picture of himself dressed up as the meme that the left made of himself. So he leaned into it and embraced it.
Was there a couch involved?
It's him with like the mullet and long hair.
Oh, okay.
It's hilarious.
Right, I'm going way off the board from mine today. I'm going this guy named Luke Kwan. Does anyone know who Luke Kwan is?
Who the f*** is that guy?
He's apparently a very famous YouTube golfer, okay?
Oh, I've heard about this.
There is a golf tournament going on for $1 million, BMAC. $1 million.
Million?
48 YouTube golfers and Barstool guys.
That's chump change if it was the live tour.
And this moron slept through his tee time. $1 million golf tournament. And I know, we get it here,
Does
okay?
Does he need it?
Sean Mapes missed the segment this week. Sorry, Sean, because he slept in.
Well, he didn't have $1 million on the line.
Exactly. This guy's got $1 million on the line. You sleep through a golf tournament? His tee time was 9:30, too. Like, he's a grown man. How are we sleeping through a, like...
Does he need the money, though? Is it a case of, like, it doesn't mean anything to him?
I don't know. But then he was just kind of a giant D the whole time. I was watching the video. He's finishing the first round last night. And, like, this guy stinks. And now
that's when John Gruden came in.
Then John Gruden came in with like a big time speech this morning. He threw him under the bus. Brown. I love seeing Gruden part of Barstool. That's great. Enjoy it while you can before he's coaching Arkansas next year.
Ugh.
Or Virginia Tech.
Man.
Or Stanford. Who's winning?
No, John Gruden cannot go to Stanford. Our SEC, yes. Stanford, no.
All right. And then will we pick a winner of our junkie of the day of our three nominations? So. Who do you want to PR?
I like junkies. Brian.
Yep. Oh, I felt that. That one I saw coming.
Happy Halloween, Brian. Yeah. Congratulations. Right. Junkie of the day. Right. We'll add it to the whiteboard that we put up next week here in the studio. That will do it for us. Thanks for listening, Jeremy. Back on Monday. Enjoy your Halloween weekend. World Series coverage up next here on 97.5 and 92.5.
Go Texas.
ESPN 97.5.